Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me, it's coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be
good morning, good morning. Let us magnify the Lord. Hallelujah for the day, for what he's done for us on today. Certainly God is good. Hallelujah. And if you're in your homes, wherever you're going or wherever you're at right now, if you're driving along, just give a holler, hallelujah. Just thank God. Don't take your hands off the steering wheel if you're driving. But just magnify the Lord for the things that he has done for us on this morning. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, September the 17th, 2022. This is Amazing Grace Ministries. Welcome again to Blog Talk Radio. Praise God. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I am the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. I want to honor and thank God for my co-host. That is none other than Evangelist Terry Rogers, who preaches and gives the gospel, who ministers to you on these Blog Talk radios. And certainly she ministers whenever the Lord gives her an opportunity to do so, and I thank God for her. We have a spirit-filled show today. I kind of cut the music kind of short this morning because we want to get into our lesson. I want to thank those of you that have given a donation, and certainly I want to thank God, Lady Dr. Angeline Williams, who gave such a gracious donation to the ministry on last week. We thank God for her. We thank God for each and every one of you that continue to bless Amazing Grace Ministries. Again, as I first stated, Amazing Grace Ministries are going through some structural transitions. We're asking the Lord for direction. We're asking the Lord for grace. Because certainly we lost a big part of this ministry. And certainly those of you continue to pray for us. I'm in the announcements right now. Continue to pray for us and continue to keep us before the Lord. And those of you, please continue to send a donation to Amazing Grace Ministry during this time of transition. You can send that to P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And checks can be made out to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc., or AGMI. So to everyone, I want to backtrack. Also, thank you to all of you, those that have sent a donation. Certainly, I do not want to miss anyone because you have helped this ministry. You have prayed for us. And certainly, we continue to request your prayers to undergird us in the guidance that God will have us and where God will want to take us. Amen. So to everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings in your life. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express that via text, email, or just comment on the lesson page. You can text me at 309-750-7584 or email me at amazinggraceministry@gmail.com. And that amazing is not, it's spelled a little differently. It's spelled Amazinggraceministries at gmail.com. We are on the air. Regardless, some of you have asked me about text. I didn't receive a text. But we are on the air. We are on the air. We are on the air every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Every Saturday morning. And certainly you can listen to this lesson. You can tune in to this lesson. There is always going to be a link. So even if you have not listened this morning, you can hit that link and listen later, and it is http://tobtr.com/s/12145518 to connect to this lesson live. So let's get into the lesson. I'm not going to bore your patience. So there is no denying that we're living in some difficult times. Difficult times, however, are not synonymous with give up. Someone has said that when times get tough, the tough get going. Going too often when times are rough, we gravitate to defeat. We give up or we throw in the towel, but as Christians, as believers, as people of faith, we allow the Spirit, we should not, but we do, when we allow the spirit of fear to paralyze us, it sends a false alarm to the world that says God is not able. And I want to read that one more time. As believers, when we allow fear, the spirit of fear, to paralyze us, it sends a false alarm to the world that says God is not able. Today we're going to talk about Jacob, who demonstrated for us the rewards of persistence in times of difficulty. We're going to talk about God's promises. These times where there are times when we have to fight for those promises that God has given us. And of course, we have been talking about promises for a little while now, starting in the middle of April, and we've been talking about God's promises. And God is saying something. God wants the people of God to really understand that he has made a promise. Now, why is that so concerning in the day and times we're living in? Because God is on his way back. Now, Satan is doing exactly what he is trying. He's trying. Satan is doing exactly what he's called or what he is doing. He's on his job. Now, John 10:10 talks about the fact that he comes to try to steal, kill, and destroy. But when we read the latter part of that verse, there is a promise. Satan wants to take the very promise that God has given you. But on today, we're going to talk about what it means to wrestle for my promise. So the theme, of course, for the month of September is anointed because of the promise. You are anointed because of the call that God has given you. Or you may have some faults. You may not pronounce your words correctly. You may not be educated to the degree that somebody else is educated. You may not have got that college degree, or you may have had some hard times. You may have had some problems in your youth that have made you a target. But God has given you a promise. And sometimes we've got to wrestle with that promise. So the theme is anointed because of the promise. And today's lesson topic is Jabbok, the place where I wrestled for my promise. So let's read the scripture, shall we? And we in Genesis 32. And those of you that could read it and go back and read it, I suggest you do that. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the fort of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of his thigh was out of joint. He wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thee bless me. And he said unto them, to him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and prevailed. I want you to know that you got power with God and with man. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, what for is it that thou hast does ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Mm-hmm. So, praise God. We're going to stop right there, because the other scriptures talked about Jacob passing over and how he renamed the place where he was staying, and how they don't eat of that particular, Jews do not eat of the thigh, the hollow of the thigh, because of that incident. But let's talk about promises. You know, we talked about and we defined what a promise is. And a promise is a declaration or assurance that one would do a particular thing, or that a particular thing will happen. And certainly if we live right, heaven belongs to us. That's the word, right? So when we look at the place, and I wanted to find some definitions here, place, a particular position or point in space or portion of space available or designated for being or being used by, or someone. So when we talk about place, I'm in my place giving you this word that God has given me, and you in your place, a particular place or a particular area, listening. So let's get to wrestle. Now, when we look at wrestle, wrestle means it has wrestled, and wrestled, which is past particle, which means to take part in a fight, either a sports event or grappling with one's opponent, mm-hmm, and trying to throw or force them to the ground. So it is to force into a particular position by grappling with or trying to throw to the ground. And a lot of times we're grappling with the decisions that God has made. We're grappling with the areas in which God has called us to walk therein, because we're trying to figure this out ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that is what wrestle means. Now let's look at the definitions. Now, when we look at the definition of these scriptures, praise God, you got alone in the 21st verse, which means to separate it, to be apart. And if we look at our lives, sometimes God will separate us from places and friends because he's trying to get our attention. And we're so busy inundated with different things in our lives that distract us. And God's got to call us to himself in order to talk to us, in order to whisper sweet nothings, whisper sweet notes or sweet flavors in our ears, praise God. So when we look at break, verse 26. It means to get up, to, something that goes up, to ascend, to approach, to come. And, of course, the King James Version said break it. Mm-hmm. Then we got hip in verse 25. And it's the thigh, the side, the loin, hollow out of the thigh, which the word speaks of. And then we've got prevailed. Prevailed meaning, and this is Bible definitions of the verses that we have read already, to be able to have had power to overpower. So when we look at that word prevailed in that scripture, it means that he was able to have power over his appointed, which at that time, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. But then I want it to be noted here, and that's why I'm giving the Bible definitions, praise the Lord, of the word, because you have verse 25, and no, you have verse 24, and you have verse 25. In both those verses, you will find the word wrestled. But in verse 24, the word wrestled means to grapple with, to struggle with. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling with the decision that God has said step out on faith. But when you hit 25, there is a change. Matter of fact, the Hebrew word for wrestled is Sarah. Uh-huh, you know the name. Praise God. But that is the Hebrew word used for wrestled in that verse. And it means to persist, to exert oneself, to be contended, to persevere. He persevered. So in essence, we can look at the fact that those two definitions of wrestled are different. So let's move forward. Let's give you a little background. Mm-hmm. So basically, we know who Jacob was. We understand who he is. He was the son of Isaac, praise the Lord. He was the youngest, the fertile paternal twin to Esau, to Isaac and Rebekah, and we find that in Genesis 25 verses 21 through 26, which reads, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together with her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thou? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. You know, take a note that the younger, the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hands took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Esau was 80 years when she bore them. Of course, if you go down and you read it, you also find that Jacob's name was changed as well. And his name was not, he was called by what he was doing, and he was holding on to the heels of Esau. So when we look at Esau, when we look at Jacob and Esau, we understand that there was a whole lot of family dynamics going on in this family. And certainly it will play out throughout their adulthood and eventually cause Jacob to have to leave his place of dwelling to go where his mother's family was from. And you know the story. You know the story. You know how that Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. And that's what the word says. And you know, as family, as parents, we are not to love any child any different than the other. Because what it creates strongholds or power struggles. You know, mom love me better than you. You ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. And so that mentality, that personal, that individual grows up to actually identify with the problems and the dynamics of the abuse or the emotional stress they received in their childhood. So as we move forward, according to, so as we read the Bible, they struggled in their mother's wombs. And at birth, Jacob came out grabbing his brother's heels. And Jacob's name was changed to Esau after struggling with God. Mm-hmm. His sons would become the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Esau. Now, when we look at that, praise the God, when we look at the fact that throughout his life, Jacob was able to devise a plan to scheme situations that would get him what he wanted. He, from the day he was born, he was looking for a way to achieve his ambition. He was his mother's favorite, so he was taught how to connive, how to scheme, how to get his way, how to come, how just to be a trickster. The name talks about trickster, that your name can no longer be, you can no longer be called Jacob because you are a trickster, because that's the pattern of your life. And if we read the Bible, we know that Esau came out of the fields and came into where Jacob had cooked him some food. And after smelling the food so good, and this is, I'm putting this in, Isaac said, Esau said, look, give me a bowl of that porridge. And what did Jacob do? Jacob said, well, if you want it, you got to pay for it. And if you pay for it, you got to sell me your birthright. And we know the scriptures. He did exactly that. He sold his birthright. So that wouldn't stop there. We know the story, saints of God. We know that Jacob and his mom connived and schemed to get the blessings from Isaac. And therefore, because he got the blessing and he took it from Esau, he had to leave. Mm-hmm. So now we hear. Now we know that Jacob had spent 20 years with his uncle. And, you know, a trickster, when he meet the master, when he go over and stay with his uncle, who was Rebekah's brother, we know that he worked 14 years for this man because he loved one daughter and got the one he didn't love. We know the scriptures. We see that. But when he comes to be at this point in his life, the account of Jacob wrestling with the angel is one of the most familiar stories that we have. It's been a subject of interpretation for many a people. One interpretation points that God initiated the wrestling match with Jacob while he was alone without distraction. Mm-hmm. So in essence, we can devise three points. First, the Jacob is forced to confront himself and his relationship with his brother, Esau. He had avoided this confrontation for over 20 years, and now he was on the verge of meeting Esau face to face. He knew he had stole his brother's birthright. He had been gone for 20 years, and jealousy and bitterness will brew, and it will eventually, if not dealt with, will present a murderous spirit. So he was scared. Throughout the journey, Jacob had to come to realize that the blessings of God cannot be usurped by or gained by trickery. he had been willing within the sovereign will and plan of God all along. Therefore, he needed not to do anything to gain what God had already determined. And we struggling with our own issues. We're struggling whether or not we're good enough. We're struggling whether or not we can make it. We're struggling with the fact that God has said something and produced something in our lives, and we just don't understand how to get it to operate. Sometimes you just got to get alone. Sometimes you just got to get alone in your room, alone in your space, and go to God with all you got and talk to the Lord and wrestle. Sometimes you may have to wrestle all night long until the breaking of dawn until God bless you. Oh, but once we're blessed, once we come out of that exchange, once we wrestle with our own innate abilities and we try to fix it, here we see in the scriptures there was a great amount of fear. We can see that when we look at the place where Jacob was, he had sent his family members on. Now he was at the fort of Jabbok. He was there wrestling. He was there praying. He was there seeking God. He was there going to the Lord who he know would bless him. Now, it took him 20 years. He just didn't figure this out that night. It took him 20 years dealing with Laban. And you know, once you're a trickster and you go to the master trickster and get tricked, then you fall back. And he fell back and said, Lord, I need to depend on you. You're the God of my father. You're the God of his father. Now, I understand and know you to be sovereign. Mm-hmm. So, in essence, he began to have a relationship with God. He began to draw nigh to God. And so as he drew nigh to God, there was still some fears. You know, our past, our past will show up, and it will make us or make us extremely fearful. But our past has to show up so God could deal with the reality of where he trying to get you to go. Because there is something that you need to deal with. That past will produce fear. That past will produce a spirit of fear in you. And because it will produce a spirit of fear, you'll be fearful to launch out on what God has given you, that tool, that promise, that gift, those plans. You won't do it because you are fearful. So as we read the text, as we begin to understand what was going on, as Jacob wrestled, as he began to struggle, as he began to lay aside those fears, as he began to focus on the Lord, as he began to look at all those distractions that was taking his attention away from God, he began to understand that God has a plan and a purpose for me. And sometimes we have to prevail. Sometimes we have to, and it's no sometimes. Some things are easy, and then some things are just downright hard. So when we look at the points and when we look at what happened here, first of all, Jacob had to eliminate the distractions. You've got to eliminate those distractions that's keeping you from focusing on God, from keeping you from listening and understanding what God is saying. Oh, then he had to understand. Exhausting, and he was desperate. You know, you've got to let your desperation, you've got to seek God. There's some things that God wants you to do, and there's sometimes great desperation. Oh, there's sometimes situations and things that are created, and we may not understand. But we must be delivered. Hallelujah. You know, they're difficult problems and situations. And God deliver us from every situation, every problem, everything that we're going through. There's a deliberation. We wrestle for answers. We need help. We struggle within our own internal being that we get exhausted and we allow situations and Satan is alive. But there are times when God allows us to wrestle with different events, different things in our lives. And those wrestling, those events, those things that we're wrestling with, those things that exhaust us, those things that tire us, that we feel that we've got to handle ourselves, have ultimately been put there because God is trying to make of us what he wants of us. In essence, that sentence sounds not good, or that sentence sound grammatical incorrect. But what I'm trying to say is this, that there is an exhaustion. There is a thing that we try to wrestle with. The Bible says, take upon his yokes, because they're easy, and we try to fight our own battles. There are situations that we pick up and we grapple with, we wrestle with. We wrestle with our attitudes. We wrestle with our thoughts. We wrestle with our children. We wrestle with our home life. We wrestle with the events that's going on in society. How can God be a loving God that allows situations to happen, the natural disasters, allow people to be killed, allow the violence that's going on? But we have to realize that all of this is because of sin, because the contract, or because this land has been given over to Satan, and Satan is roaming about trying to destroy the people because he knows that once God comes back, he will be defeated. And those of us that are here on this earth, those of us that have committed our lives to Christ, must understand that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. The enemy tries to make us grapple with our fears, grapple with our imperfections, grapple with our disabilities, grapple with the fact that I can't see straight, grapple with the fact that my tongue cannot produce or pronounce the words correctly. But God is saying, I am in control. I am the authority. I am sovereign. I am here. I am omnipresent. I am everywhere at the same time. And because I'm sovereign, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But he's in control. So we have to understand that throughout everything that we're going through, I talked about earlier in the introduction, that once we encounter situations and we allow the spirit of fear to come on us, then we show the world that God is not able, and God is saying, I am able. I was here before time. I'm going to be here after time. So when we look at it, we wrestle for answers. We wrestle for help and strength. And we exhaust all our supplies. We exhaust our resources. And yet, God is saying, I'm still in control. But God uses those calamities. God uses those tragedies. God uses the danger to open up our eyes to the obvious answer, to trust in him. He uses unemployment, poverty. He uses problems with our children, health issues, and insurmountable struggles so that we can look only to him. Mm-hmm. And this experience that Jacob had at Jabbok summed up his character, his career. It was where he privately poured out his soul to God, and God allowed him to pour out his soul to him. Hosanna 12:4. It says, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found in Bethel, and there he spoke with us. Jacob was desperate and he wrestled with the angels of God till the breaking of day. Mm-hmm. He battled and he came out victorious. So in essence, when he walked across that brook, when he walked across to the other side, he no longer feared Esau because he recognized the scriptures that said the younger brother, he didn't recognize, but he recognized who God was. And therefore, we can understand the scriptures that said that the elder would rule, that would be that the younger would rule over the elder. And so forth, we see that if God had given you a promise even before you come out your womb, God had given him a promise even before he came out of his womb. And therefore, God has got to get us to the ability to stand on his word, stand and trust him. Because as we are babes, we may not understand what it means to trust God. But after we've struggled, after we've wrestled with the promise that God has given us, after we've sought the Lord, after we have prayed, after we've fell on our knees, after we've cried a while, and God has showed up, and he will show up. Some of us have testimonies that if we had testimony service, and they did back in the day, oh, they testified of the goodness of Jesus. How I got over, I look back and my soul wonder how I got over. That was a song, you know. I look back and wonder how I got over. And when I think about it, when I think about how I got over because God has brought me over. I got over because God has strengthened me. I got over because God has changed my name. I got over because God has changed my character. I'm no longer a liar. I'm no longer a thief. I'm no longer a conniver, but my name has been changed. Now I'm a woman or a servant of God or a man of God. I don't do the things I used to do. Why? Because I've had an encounter with God, and therefore I can understand and stand on his promises. I've wrestled up my life. My childhood has not always been the best, but in my adulthood, in my seniorhood, in my teenhood, oh, now I can look at God and say, God has brought me a mighty long way. God has blessed me. God is still pouring out for me. Oh, when I go in various places, I find favor. Favor, God. Favor. God opened up doors. God opened up doors because he is the God that provides for our needs. He will provide for all of your needs. And as we continue to wrestle, as we continue to understand God's promises, oh, take him at his word. He said it and he means it. When John 10:10 reads, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, recognize that and understand that you are going through. That's exactly what you're doing. You are going through. You're not meant to stay there. You're not meant to be there all the time. Oh, but when you go through, understand the glory is on the other side, the glory of the Lord. Because when you think about it, when you raise your hands, when you tell the world, and when they see you, oh, you don't look like what you've been through. You've gone through, but you don't look like it. You've gone through not having food on your table, but now you've got food on your table. You've gone through not having clothes on your back, but now you've got clothes on your back. Oh, when you think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, our soul cries out, hallelujah. Had it not been for the Lord on my side, I would have been dead and gone. I would have been addicted to drugs. But because God gave me a promise, because God gave me a promise that you should live and not die, I'm still here, and I'm giving God the glory. I'm giving God the praise. I'm giving God the glory because God said it and I can stand on it. I bind the spirit of fear that comes to stop me from getting to my promise. I'm going to get it. We're going to get it because God has given it to us and God cannot lie. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the word. I thank you for the people that are on Blog Talk this morning. I pray for them. I pray, God, that you continue to bless them, continue to move them forward. We pray even now, God, that you will I pray, God, right now, someone on this line, I pray you strengthen them. I pray you touch them right now. In the name of Jesus, whatever they're going through, Satan, you have no control. We bind it in the name of Jesus. Oh, let this word saturate their minds and their souls. Those that will hear this word at a later time, let it saturate their mind, their souls. Let them understand who you are, the fact that you're sovereign, the fact that you are God, that you are in control. And as we represent you, as we show this world that God is able to do anything, heal, deliver, set free, we pray, God, that we'll be those individuals that will stand up, represent you, stand up and declare the word of God to this dying world. Because you're on your way back, and we know you're on your way back, and we pray right now in the name of Jesus that everyone that encounters this blog, everyone that listens to this blog will be a light to mankind. We pray for those that are sick among us. We pray for healing in the name of Jesus. We pray for our loved ones that are not saved. We pray, God, that you'll give them an opportunity. And as you give them an opportunity to be saved, we pray that you give them a mind to accept you as Lord and Savior. We pray right now, God, that you continue to bless, continue to keep us as we leave this show, as we continue to produce blogs that or messages that are pleasing to you. We pray, God, for my co-host, wherever she may be. We pray that you touch her and keep her, God. We pray for everyone that's attached to this ministry, who have supported this ministry, and who continue to support this ministry. I pray that you will bless them and keep them, Father God. I pray right now that you'll do so. I pray, God, that your will be done in our lives. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And maybe someone that don't know you in the pardon of their sins, Father God, I pray right now, God, that you will allow them to accept and say these words. I confess Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I repent of my sins. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless. We'll see you on next week. Bye-bye.